Last Sunday evening, we began looking at three portions of Scripture dealing with the people of Israel in their relationship to the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first portion dealt with one's understanding or knowledge of the time of His advent.
The nation of Israel had two conditions of people. People who could know of the Lord's coming and respond to it, and people who could know of the Lord's coming and didn't respond to it. That was the case, two shall be in the field, one shall be taken. They're going about their responsibilities, but one did so in light of the fact that the Lord was coming, and the other said, I don't really care. This morning we dealt with preparations for His coming. We had the 10 virgins. 5 were wise. They took oil. Oil was necessary to go through the night. And the unwise, the foolish, made no preparations. Tonight we're going to look at the quality of service and how it defines people of faith. Matthew chapter 25, and we will begin reading at verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants. Now I want to stop right here and have you to understand something. The nation of Israel was called of God corporately to the service of God. Their corporate calling, or corporate, if you will, election, does not mean that everyone within the nation was saved. Keep your finger here. Turn over with me to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, verse 4. Who are Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises? All of Israel was called jointly as a nation to the service of God. Whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God had taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Within the nation of Israel that was corporately called to the service of God, you had believers and you had unbelievers, saved people, unsaved people. In fact, even in the priestly service of God, there were unbelievers. So when we're dealing here in verse 14, it's as a man who was traveling into a far country who called his own servants. That's what we're dealing with as far as the nation of Israel. Now again, if you take this and say, okay, well, Christians are the servants of God, you're going to have a real problem, because of the three different servants that are outlined here, the one gets cast into hell. And you have Christians then going to hell, which I have a significant theological problem with. This is speaking of the nation of Israel. But the simile here is a very interesting little story that the Lord tells. Here's a man, and by the way, this man who is taking a journey into a far country is a very, very rich man. You'll see this in just a moment. He delivered unto his servants, of which there are at least three, his goods, with apparently the instructions to them that they are to manage those things and prosper his household. Unto the one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. These are not spiritual gifts that we're talking about here. We're using a simile, and the simile is this guy is giving them money. Money to be used for the promotion or the prospering of the kingdom, to do the householder or the man's work. When we read this in the English, we say, okay, 5 talents, 2 talents, 1 talent. Doesn't sound like a whole lot, does it? Until you understand what a talent is. A talent is equal to 6 1,000 denarii. A denarii is equal, was the common wage of the average worker for a day. So the person who was given 5 talents was given 30,000 denarii, or enough to pay an average worker for 30,000 days. If you want to convert that, it's a little over 82 years. In other words, the sufficient pay for a person to work 82 years. Well, in biblical times, that was even beyond an expected life expectancy. And that's assuming that the person started working the day they were born. So we're talking a significant amount of money. 2 talents, then, is equal to 12,000 denarii, or just under 33 years worth of work. The person who was given just 1 talent is 6,000 denarii, or just under 16 and a half years of pay. Wouldn't you like if someone came up to you and gave you 16 and a half years of pay in one shot? You need to understand the enormity of what this man is dispersing here, because, be quite honest, up until this week as I was studying this out, I said I kind of had a little sympathy for the person who only had 1 talent. Well, it's just 1 talent. That's 16 and a half years worth of pay. That's a significant amount of money. He had tremendous responsibility laid on him, even though it was 5 times less or 2 times less than the other 2 people. Nonetheless, these things are distributed according to their ability. In the sovereign distribution, the man here says, well, here's a guy who's really shrewd in his business affairs. I can count on him to do this. He has the ability, and I think I can invest a lot in him. Here's another man. I think he'll do pretty well, not as good as the other person. I won't give him quite as much responsibility. And here's the third person who also has ability, or I wouldn't invest anything in him. But not quite as much as the others. So he's only getting 1. And understand that this person who had the 1 talent had ability to do good with that talent. It's not as if he was set up to fail. Nonetheless, he distributes this thing and immediately he takes his journey. He's going into a far country. And he's going to be gone for a period of time. Then he that had received 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. He went and doubled what he had. Likewise, he that received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time. Now, put this in perspective. In dealing with the nation of Israel, we're talking at least 2,000 years here since the Lord Jesus has gone away until his second advent. In the course of this simile that he's dealing with here, obviously the man could not go away for 2,000 years, nor could his servants go away or live for 2,000 years in his absence. Probably if a man was going into a far country to do some business or whatever, he was taking vacation or whatever the case may be, he might be gone a couple of months, maybe a year or two, probably at the most, but nonetheless, it was going to be for a significant period of time. But at the end of this time, he comes, according to verse 19, and he reckoned with his servants. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, you delivered unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. I put them out there, I invested, I traded, I bartered, I did whatever was necessary. Now I'm able to bring back 10. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. I want to make a political comment that has absolutely nothing to do with the text, but I can't help myself. Notice what his Lord did not say. And his Lord said unto him, you rotten, no good, low down capitalist, you should have given that money away in economic distribution so that all are equal. Now, I don't want to get into politics. That's not my purpose here tonight. But I want you to understand, too, when you hear these people saying, oh, we need to distribute money equally, redistribute the money. Look what the Lord says about this person who was making a profit. He says, well done. He did not in any way whatsoever condemn him for being profitable. Okay, I'm done. Back to the text. He also that received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, why didn't you gain 5 like the rest? No. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. The exact same reward as the person who had 5. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. The exact same joy that the Lord had over the person who only gained 2. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid. Mark that statement for just a moment. I'm going to come back to it because it's very instructive. And went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. Lord, I didn't want to risk these things. After all, I only had 1 talent. And I knew that you were going to be upset if I came back with less than that. So I took the easy way out. I made certain that you would have your 1 talent when you came back. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I have sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. If you knew that I was looking to make a profit on these things, and you were afraid, I can deal with that. But at least you could have taken the safe route and put the money in the bank. And maybe you would have only gotten a small percentage of interest on it, but at least you would have gotten something for it. But instead, you did zippo. Why did the guy do zippo? Nothing. Well, it says here, I was afraid. Afraid of what? As I thought of that question this week, it dawned on me what he was afraid of. What had they just gone through? 7 years of tribulation. 7 years. At least 3.5 of them of intense tribulation and persecution by the Antichrist. Remember, in the beginning of the tribulation, he signs a covenant with the nation of Israel to protect them. But he's not real happy with them even in the first half of the tribulation. And in the middle of the tribulation, he stands in the temple, declares himself to be God, and to be worshipped as God. And consequently, anyone who will not fall and worship him, who will not receive the mark of the beast in their forehead, he begins an official persecution. Well, in order for this servant to do the man's business, he's going to have to identify himself as a servant of King of Kings. And consequently, he's afraid that if he goes out and identifies himself by doing the service of the Lord, he's going to lose his life. So I want to take the safe way out. I'll just put your money in the ground where it's nice and safe. When you come back, I'll give it to you. Everything will be fine. Nothing's lost. And my life is preserved. Um, It didn't work out that way. The person who had 5 talents did a lot of trading, and his life was preserved. The person who had 2 talents did a lot of trading, and his life was preserved. See, what this guy didn't understand is that God could have preserved his life too. Well, maybe he was just afraid that he would lose the money. Well, wait a minute. In that, the man of the house delivered unto him his goods according to his ability. If he lost money and did so seeking the best of his abilities to gain money, whose problem is it? Was it the servant, or was it the man who gave him the money? The man says, look, I think you can do this. And the man tries to the best of his ability to gain it, and nothing works out for him. It was a wrong evaluation of this man who went into the far country. When he says, I knew you were demanding of these things, he is really signing his own death sentence. And consequently, what did he do during that time? Now, here's a person who is called to be a servant. He's giving responsibility of watching over 1 talent or 6,000 denarii. He puts it in the ground, so it's safe in the ground. What's he going to do for those 7 years? I said to myself, what did he do? He probably sat back and did this. When's the time going to be up? When is the Lord coming back that I can get rid of this responsibility of hiding a talent in the ground? He did nothing. And in doing nothing, he earned what he got. Verse 28, take for the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. Interesting in our day of redistribution of wealth, how this redistribution of wealth goes. It goes the opposite direction. For unto everyone that hath shall be given. He shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What was this man's problem? His problem was in that he did nothing in service. He revealed that he really didn't know his master. And there will be Jews at the end of the tribulation who have been given the service of God who do nothing, and in so doing, they will reveal they never knew the Master. That's why he's cast into hell. This is not a person who had salvation and lost it. Salvation isn't so much the issue here. It's the service. But having said that, the New Testament has no conception of a person who is in a right relationship with God and doing nothing for service. We are all called to be servants of the Most High God. In fact, I just marvel every time I hear that statement or see it or read it or think about it. Servant of the Most High God. Do you realize that's the greatest calling there is on earth? And in the same way, God calls us according to the abilities that we have. And it doesn't matter whether you have a lot of abilities and you can manage 82,000 years worth of money, or if you can manage 33 years worth of money, or just 16 and a half years of money. God calls you to do whatever He calls you to do and to take what you have and use it for His glory. And it doesn't matter if you get 2 times the amount back or 5 times the amount back. It just matters that you use it. And the person who sits around going like this, basically says, I don't know my God. We have turned the ministry into the organization of professionals today. I do not say this trying to duck any of the responsibilities that I have been given. But when it comes to evangelism, that's the pastor's and the missionary's job. That's not my job. When it comes to understanding the Bible, that's the pastor's and the theologian's job. When it comes to the various different things, that's somebody else's job. What do I have? Well, I don't have much. I just have one talent. So I guess I'll just sit here and do nothing. And if that's your attitude, you are revealing that you have a heart that does not know your God. Now, I understand that as time goes on, the ability to do things diminishes. I am really beginning to understand that. My wife is getting so old that she's just starting to fall apart. Can someone give me a ride home tonight? Yeah. Yeah, hospital room. Okay. Now, I understand that, and I'm obviously the Lord expects out of us what we are capable of, and that's what this simile says. He gave to His servants according to their abilities. God does not expect you to do something that you cannot do. But there's always something that we can do. Carol and I have gotten a couple of letters from Hazel, and she has, over the last, 10 years that we've known her, she has said over and over and over again, I guess God has called her to pray. And at 93 years old, I really don't expect her to be doing a whole lot more than having an effective prayer ministry. And that's what she does. And boy, does she do it. It doesn't matter how many people you come in contact with. If you come in contact with one, share the gospel with that one. It doesn't matter how many kids are in your Sunday school class, whether you have two or whether you have 200. Share the Word of God with your Sunday school class. Do whatever you're capable of doing, and the reward will be great. Do nothing. Consequences are severe. Let's pray. Father, in these three discourses, we've seen people who couldn't care less about when you were coming, live for themselves. We saw this morning people who thought it wasn't necessary to be prepared, live for themselves. Now tonight, a servant didn't think he could do much of anything, and therefore lived for himself. And the message of the world that is being emphasized over and over and over and over again today is live for yourself. I can't help but think of what Dr. Ryder used to say commonly amongst us preacher boys, that a man that is wrapped up in himself makes a pretty small package. And yet that's what the world wants us to be. And when we look in the Scriptures here tonight, we see You want us to prosper. You enable us. You give us opportunity. You energize us. You bring forth victory. May we not be afraid. Go forth in the power of the Lord. Use whatever talent or opportunity that's given to us effectively. Maybe we'll win some. Maybe we'll lose some. But in the end, we'll have done what You wanted us to do. And we'll thank You for the grace to do it. Cause us to triumph in Christ tonight. For we pray in His name. Amen. Have a good week.